You are listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. It is Thursday, May 19th, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 184, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson, and joining me, okay, last week we had Brad and I, and this week it's Anessa and I, and Brad's barbecuing right now, right?
Yes, he's cooking dinner.
Oh, does he have an apron on?
Probably not, but he does have an apron. Actually, we have several aprons.
Okay, I'm guessing that the aprons have some kind of geek-related thing on the front.
I know one for sure is not geeky. There's one that I bought from Woot, surprise, that was originally a t-shirt design, and it's all sorts of various kitchen gadgets, like the cheese grater, steak knife, the potato peeler, and just like a rolling pin, and everything just comes together in the shape of like an assault rifle. And it's called Kitchen Warfare is the name of the design. And I have that on my apron. And I was like, I really like that apron. And then I ended up getting Brad an apron like a year or 2 years ago. It was like Cthulhu themed.
Oh, of course.
So, and it's got this cartoon character version of Cthulhu standing over the world, and he's got like his little apron on, like he's grilling, and it's like,
oh sweet.
Yeah, we've got a couple of others that I can't think of what the designs are, but those are the two that come to mind. Anyway, that's the apron update.
Okay, thanks. Also, thanks to Monkey Warhol again for providing our brand new theme. And they emailed us this week and said they heard the show with the intro and they were very happy. So if you want to download the full song, I'll put the link in the show notes as to where you can get that song. It's called Alien Syndrome. This is the podcast where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in TV, film, video games, comic book, science, and real life, or as I like to call it, tinfoil stories. I'm going to call them that from now on. And I will identify them when they show up. And you've got a tinfoil story this week.
Yes.
In the news,
we've got this big sequel coming up, Independence Day Resurrection. It's coming out in June. And it turns out the U.S. Army teamed up with 20th Century Fox to put out a couple of viral videos and kind of incorporate the fictional story of the War of 1996 into recruiting people for the actual U.S. Army. Once you're done watching the videos, you can go to kind of a separate website and play some games that are kind of alien related, and between each one it gives you like hey, if you think you're good at that game, you can use your skills for this job in the U.S. Army. They're trying to really emphasize high-tech future jobs, because it's not just people in foxholes anymore or the trenches, right? It's the Army has become very, very high-tech with drones and cyber warfare and that kind of thing.
Yep.
A spokesperson for the Army Marketing and Research Group told BuzzFeed News they were approached by Fox about 6 months ago with the idea of leveraging some of the film's promotion to market the Army. The studio's plans dovetailed with what the spokesperson called the patriotic season. Did you know that there was a patriotic season, Anessa?
I did not, but it makes sense because, I mean, I would imagine that would probably be more of a summer thing.
Between May and July.
You've got Memorial Day, yep. And then you have 4th of July, so that makes sense.
And Memorial Day is next weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
See, this weekend is the long weekend for Canada, which is Victoria Day. That's Monday. It's always like the week before Memorial Day weekend. They call it the May long weekend.
Oh.
Anyways, the campaign seeks to capitalize on the patriotism aroused in viewers by fictional battles with aliens who are seeking to destroy the inhabitants of Earth. Fans of the movie are likely to fall into groups that are targets for Army recruitment. people who are interested in science, engineering, technology, and mathematics. The Army didn't participate in the production of Resurgence. However, the collaboration on a marketing campaign is still something of a departure for the military, according to historian and author Lawrence H. Sid, who told BuzzFeed News that the military declined to collaborate on the production on the original film in 1996. The reason, he said, was because the service had been saying for almost 30 years there were no such thing as flying saucers. Sounds like they're kind of not necessarily changing their... And this is my wild tinfoil theory on this. Another way for the U.S. military and the U.S. government to get us used to the idea of aliens.
Yep. Aliens and zombies.
Yeah.
That, and I kind of think that it piques people's interest, like, ooh, we might have to fight something not of this world. Like, I think that would be more exciting in a weird way. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, so I'm just going to go with exciting. It would be more exciting to fight something that's not from Earth than it would be to fight another human being.
Yeah, but then at the same time, they probably have technology that's going to kick our ass, and it's not going to be pretty.
Well, there's that. But in the meantime, you get to use all this cool technology that's probably inferior.
Steal their technology and reuse it for ourselves.
There's something to be said about that, because look at Battlestar Galactica and how Battlestar Galactica was against putting everything online. And they used the old school phones and nothing was networked together. And it worked out to their benefit because then the Cylons couldn't take over.
And you can also go back to like the original War of the Worlds, where it was our viruses or our bacteria that was the thing that defeated them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They weren't able to adapt to the foreign bacteria or viruses or whatever that's here on Earth. And so they died, which was actually very fortuitous for us.
Okay, so one more part of the story. The Army's subsite provides a Learn More link that redirects players to real job description. Additionally, if the player scores well enough on the game, they can unlock an exclusive video from the movie.
Bum, bum, bum.
And I watch these videos. They're pretty cool. He's basically explaining that he's fine with his daughter joining the Army, or I think it's like the Earth Defense Force or something like that. And because I fought in the War of 1996, or whatever it's called.
Ah.
It's kind of neat to see real life colliding with the fiction of our ages or something. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think this sends the right message? Or do you feel there's any underhandedness when it comes to this kind of thing?
Not really. Because, I mean, for right now, as far as we know, like, the odds of being attacked by extraterrestrials is very slim. I think it's a great way to get the attention of today's youth and get them interested enough to where they inquire and they're like, oh, this sounds pretty cool if I get to do this, this, and this. And like, who knows, maybe someday there will be an alien invasion that I'll be able to help defend the world against. But, you know, for now they are like, sure, I'll totally defend my country. So I think it's a good way to get people's attention, and hopefully it'll work to their benefit and they'll get people to sign up.
We would love you to sign up to help us financially.
Yes, we would. You won't be fighting aliens, though, so don't get too excited.
Yeah, thank God.
But you'll be helping us talk about aliens.
Yeah, We love it when you share the episodes or you tell your friends about this great podcast, how you should subscribe to it. But there's something else you can do. You can give $1 a month, and that's all we ask is $1 a month. We do have other levels, but really want to focus on the $1 a month. Pledge at Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. It's a drop in the bucket, okay? It's nothing, $1 a month. And with that $1 a month, not only will you get the satisfaction of helping us out that we have to pay for each month to keep this train going down the tracks, like the audio hosting and the web hosting, that kind of stuff, but you'll also get the exclusive access to our Slack chat channel. Slack is this app that keeps on growing and growing and growing, getting more and more popular. And we've got a group on Slack. It's all basically Galactic Netcast producers, hosts, guests from other shows, and our patrons, our Patreon supporters. And that can be you just by going to Patreon, patreon.com/GalacticNetcast, and help us out. We'd really appreciate it. NASA, aliens on Jupiter's moon look like humans. Tell me more, NASA.
So NASA has been searching for new places in the galaxy, places to build future space colonies and possibly find life on other planets and moons, or at least signs that life did exist before, hence the rush to Mars. In their search, they have identified the Jupiter moon Europa. If Jupiter has the moon similar to Earth, then human-like aliens could exist on said moon. Well, that is a theory, a loose theory at that. However, a recent study by NASA found some very interesting characteristics. So researchers uncovered an ocean-like condition under Europa's surface of the ice. The ice-covered ocean was found to have just the right balance of energy, the energy that would support life. Another Earth-like characteristic of the Jupiter moon is its similar oxygen production. The oxygen level on Jupiter's moon Europa exceeds the hydrogen production by 10 times. NASA said that it is studying the flow of energy and nutrients on the alien moon to better understand Earth, but maybe they are just looking for a new place to colonize. The links between Europa and Earth may also be a connection to aliens, aliens similar to humans. This could be groundbreaking evidence towards the actual existence of aliens. Eliminated government cover-ups and conspiracy theories once and for all. Even if NASA doesn't find the living human-like aliens on the Jupiter moon, it would still be cool to find an alien body frozen in time.
God, can this story have mentioned the word alien any more times?
You know, I really have to say, and I kind of wish I went through and changed it, but they kept talking about the Jupiter's Earth-like moon like half a dozen times. I could just say Europa.
Yeah.
I think we get it by now. So anyway, the recent discovery of the alien ocean and its Earth-like links may lead to a series of missions. NASA did say that more research is needed to better understand the balance of the oxygen and hydrogen work. The space agency also said that a launch is scheduled for 2020. A radiation-tolerant spacecraft will launch towards the Jupiter moon. Once in orbit, it will make a series of flybys. Photos will be taken, and data may prove to be useful for future Jupiter missions. Will Mars be replaced for Europa moon aliens that could unlock human secrets? Stay tuned! I added the stay tuned.
Nice touch.
And that was from clapway.com. So, I think the main point of the story is there could be life on Europa. I don't think it'll be human-like, though.
What a clickbaity, deceiving title. Like...
I didn't want to spoil anything, but yes.
Oh.
I just did a clickbait on the podcast. I am sorry, Dave.
Damn you, Vanessa. I was hoping that we'd talk about human-looking aliens living on Jupiter's moon.
I kind of hoped that, you know, they would be like, oh, Gutens or something. Who knows? I like the idea of exploring Europa more and not just focusing everything on Mars. I like that we're branching out to other places, planets, moons. Who knows what we might end up finding? Maybe we'll find some new elements.
That would be awesome. Any kind of discoveries would be awesome. And I think there's a lot going on. I think we're going to find a lot of interesting stuff on Europa once we get there.
Yes, I do too.
Plus, I mean, it's a source of water in the solar system. Like, when we run out of water, which we will someday, there is so much water in this solar system that I think we'll be fine. We just have to get it from wherever it is to us.
Yeah, that's the big challenge, would be to get it from one planet or satellite to another, because there's just so much energy and so much time that would go into leaving Earth, traveling to the planet or the moon, and then collecting the resource, and then making sure you have enough energy to bring it back. And then, like, you're limited to how much you can bring back, because then you have to worry about the Earth's atmosphere and gravitational pull and yada, yada, yada.
I like the idea of a space pipeline. Space pipeline.
I wonder how that would work with everything like constantly moving.
Yeah, you'd have to secure it somehow, like maybe a series of asteroids, possibly. You know, line them up like every so often. The pipeline would secure to the asteroids.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on how fast the asteroids are traveling and if they're in like the synchronous orbit with Earth. Maybe I don't know, a geosynchronous. Well, no, that would be the moon. So if they were synchronized with us, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, I don't think a pipeline would work. The more I think about it,
I'm thinking though, more than anything, is to have kind of like space stations between here and Europa, for example, and just basically haul the water. It'd be kind of like running a relay race. You just pass the water from one station to another.
Yep.
I guess.
A series of, you know, spaceships, like freighters.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you just have like these holding stations. So these ships can travel between the stations and deliver. I have no idea.
or you know, no. I got something. I got an idea. It's maybe make a big iceberg and just float it through space.
And then it would melt in the Earth's atmosphere.
Damn it. Can never win.
But then it would rain and you would have more water.
We'll get this figured out.
Who knows?
It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow.
Ideas, let us know.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's a great idea. Aliens. Yeah. aliens@gncasts.com is our email address. aliens@gncasts.com. Please let us know what you think of this crazy idea, this cockamamie idea, or call it in on our voicemail number, which is 805. That's area code 805-328-3966. And this is my favorite part of the show right here.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
I don't know how we're going to do this, because this was Brad's sighting originally. I suppose I could read it. I'm not.
It doesn't matter. I could read it.
Okay. So sightings are basically somebody sees something either in the sky or on the ground that we think is maybe an alien craft or not, just like a flying saucer or, you know, triangle. No, what do they call those? Not triangle. Is it triangle-shaped? Yeah, triangle-shaped spacecraft. You know, UFOs, flying saucers, that kind of thing. And these are reports from history. And this comes from 1976, right?
Yep, February 1976. And I believe it's on the East Coast. So the viewing duration was a minute. And the individual has written down, while driving from Lima to Ancon, north, or Anson? Ancon? Anyway, around 7 p.m. and keeping my two sons awake and entertained, playing and singing along the way, all of a sudden, we all stopped when we saw a UFO descending into a very close area from the highway. There was no room for mistake. We all saw it, and my oldest son wanted to stay while the other got scared and asked me to leave. Seconds of decision, having my husband with us, we would have stopped. Whatever happened, we were together, but I felt like we had to run away. It was an elliptical shape, much smaller than a helicopter, gray or dark color, bright light surrounded it, and as an aircraft, lowering the undercarriage while landing, which I did not know if it finally did. I knew what it was, undoubtedly, a UFO. And as soon as I got home, left my kids and husband, and I went back to the area I remembered, but there was nothing. No fireworks, no events going on. The side of the road was absolutely calm. No places, no people to inquire if they also saw something strange. After going around for a while, we returned home. A few days later, my oldest brother, a professor in the city of Ica?
I think this is not in the U.S. I think this is Peru.
Maybe. So, anyway, Oh, maybe Spain? Who knows? Anyway, so a few days later, my oldest brother, a professor in the city of Ica, south, was driving at dawn, and he saw something similar. We exchanged notes, but he was very pragmatic and skeptical and asked me to forget about it and not to share it with anybody because other people would think that I was making it up or something was wrong with me. They think she's crazy. I followed his advice, but several years later, I attended a meeting in Barranco, Lima, where there were people that had seen and experienced the same. I have never forgotten that vision, and I am sure it was a UFO. Witness background. I am an engineer, studied at the Universidad de Ingeniería, Lima, Peru. At the same time, I used to work in an electrical company in Lima as an engineer in distribution. I now hold two master's degrees, master's in computer science and information systems in Pace University, New York, and master in education, language, literature in Madrid, Spain. Views on UFOs before and after sighting. Never did pay attention to the news, and I thought they were just the imagination of people.
Two things about this that makes it seem more legitimate than a lot of sightings is, number one, this person holds two master's degrees, and then number two, didn't really think much of reports before it happened to her, right?
Right. Although one could say, like, you can be smart and still be crazy.
That's true. There's many cases that would prove that.
Right. But no, like, I think the fact that she went back to look for this craft that she had seen and was looking for other witnesses and had eventually she got to speak to her brother about it, who had experienced the same, and they shared notes. But he was a little more cautious about letting other people know about his experience. And it kind of makes me wonder if he had shared his experience and they're like, ooh, there's something wrong with him. So, but no, I think the fact that she made the effort to go back to look for people that had seen it, to me, that seems a lot more credible rather than, and we drove away and we don't know whatever happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
She made that extra effort to go back and find it.
She went the extra mile, or probably in this case, the extra kilometer, because it's not in America.
Kilometer.
What was I going to say? Oh, I hate when people say UFOs because anything can be a UFO. It's an unidentified flying object. Say like flying saucer or alien spacecraft.
Right. And she kept saying an UFO. And typically, like if you're saying a word that starts with a vowel, you would use an in front of it if you're talking about an airplane. But UFO, it just sounds weird. UFO.
Yeah.
A UFO.
A.
Anyway.
All right. So if anybody listening to this podcast or watching us, if you have a sighting to report, we'd love to hear about it. Email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call the voicemail number. It's always open, always available. 805, that's area code 805-328-3966. Also, if you want to know more about the show, go to our website, gncasts.com/aliens. Okay, time for picks and warnings, Anessa. These are entertainment things related to aliens or extraterrestrial life that we have watched, listened to, etc. Looks like you have a video game.
I do. It's an app. It's a mobile app.
Okay.
And it's available on both iOS and on Android, and it's called Lifeline.
Oh, I've heard of this, I think.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of cool. And the best way that I can describe it is it's got a very The Martian vibe with like Mark Watney, where he's communicating back with the people on Earth and they've received his signal. But this happens to be an astronaut who, not on Mars, who is on a moon in, I forget where, by the star, like Tau Ceti maybe. And anyway, so he's trying to get communications out, and he finally gets out and he reaches you. And his name is Taylor, and the entire game is text-based. So it makes me think a choose your own adventure, because he'll chat and he'll wait for a response, and then you will choose your response, and then he'll type back and forth. And you're essentially making all of his decisions as far as like, which way should he go? What should he do? And some of these decisions could kill your character. So choose wisely, because the game could end really quick.
You have chosen wisely.
So, yeah. And no, it's actually really cool. And it's, it has this real-time vibe because, you know, he's out in the middle of a desert. He escaped his ship via escape pod, as it seems like everybody does. And the ship crashes to the moon's surface, as does his escape pod. But his escape pod has a softer landing, I suppose, rather than a hard landing. And he's out in the middle of this desert, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's trying to see if there's anybody out there. And he comes to a point where he just, he'll say like, oh, okay, like, which way should I go? Okay, I'm going this way. Like, I'll talk to you later. And then it'll be like an hour. Or if he's going to look for something, he'll be like, it'll take a few minutes. And then it'll take a few minutes for him to do it. And when he goes to sleep, it'll take about 8 hours before you can do anything again. So it's like things are really happening, like in real time.
That sounds so awesome. I forget who it was that brought this up before, and I wanted to play it then, and I really want to play it now.
It's one of those things. I think at one point it was free on the Apple Store, like, because they do their app of the week. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at my purchased apps, and it was there. And I'm like, I don't remember buying this, but I will go to the app of the week. And if it seems remotely interesting, I'll go ahead and download it and play with it eventually. and then if I don't like it, I delete it because, you know, I didn't spend any money on it. But no, it's something that I highly recommend. Like I said, it's a guy on an alien moon trying to survive. You don't have like a ton of detail. Like, is what's the atmosphere like? At least not until maybe later, if they go into that at all. So, but he has like a life suit essentially that you know that he's using. So it'll send vitals and stuff from time to time on how things are going.
It sounds cool. It's about $3 in the App Store, iOS App Store.
It looked like it was like a couple bucks on iOS and Android, at least here in the States. I recommend it. I think if you were to play it pretty regularly, I think it's supposed to take place over about 3 or 4 days. But I'm so sporadic, it takes me much longer than that.
Okay. So you make him wait.
I make him wait. Because it's like, and the cool thing too, I suppose, if you have the money and have purchased an Apple Watch, is it's supposed to play really well on there because they're really short messages.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so you can just communicate like from your watch as well. But I use my phone or my iPad or whatever because I don't have an Apple Watch. I like my solar-powered watch. Thank you.
Oh, you have a solar-powered watch. That's cool.
I do. Yeah, I had a solar-powered watch for about 10, 12 years, and then it was really not a fan of the Wisconsin winter. And I think the battery was finally starting to give and I'd have to send it off to get it fixed. Mm. And so my mom just ended up buying me another one.
Nice.
So yeah, I really dig the solar powered watches.
Speaking
Seiko
of
and Citizen both have them and they last forever.
Speaking of solar power, I saw a really cool story this week. This company in Australia developed this shingling that you put on roofs.
Mm-hmm.
That number one, it generates electricity. And then number two, it actually heats water.
Oh, that's nice.
Like the water goes through the roof itself or something like that. I forget how it works, but it's far from being like mainstream, like you can buy it, but it's a step in the right direction. It's not like solar paneling that looks like solar paneling. It's actually, shingles that you put on a roof.
Hmm.
I thought that
sounds
was
really cool.
Yeah. I love how the world is finally making strides in efficient renewable energies. I'm encouraged.
Yeah. No, I like it. And like I said, I really dig my solar powered watches. So. But anyway, no, going back to my pick, the game, I recommend it. I recommend giving it a play. Like I said, there's a lot of downtime between like what he's doing. So it kind of gives you that feel that like it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you can't type like your own response, like LOL, OMG. So,
okay.
Yeah, no, for the most part, it's actually really cool and I enjoy it.
How many flying saucers?
Ooh, for a mobile app game that's really simple, I'd probably give it a 4 or 5, maybe 4.5.
Wow. Okay, high praise. Night. I just made up a new word. It was nice and night. I don't know if you heard it.
I didn't. But I've been making up a lot of words lately.
All right. So, my picks, I have two actually, but they're pretty much the same thing. It's from this YouTube channel called Watch Mojo. You ever heard of it?
I have not.
Watch Mojo does kind of top 10 lists where they'll run down the top 10, I don't know, Drew Barrymore movies or like the top 10 space opera films or favorite superhero comics in movies or something like that. And they're very successful. They have a lot of subscribers. You see a lot of their videos on YouTube. And I found a couple of alien-related Watch Mojo videos. And the first one is Top 10 Alien Franchise Movie Moments. So, if you don't want to actually watch all of the original true Alien franchise movies, that's Alien Resurrection was the third one? No, Alien 3... And then Alien Resurrection, I believe that's the order of them. They kind of run down the best moments from those films. And there's all the typical moments like the chest burst. I think the chest bursting scene's actually number one. But there's when Ripley finally destroyed or killed the alien queen and aliens with the loader, the mechanical loader that's in there. Where, spoiler alert, she dies in, I think, 3. She sacrifices herself by falling into, like, a vat of acid or something because there was the alien creature growing inside her. She had an alien baby growing inside her.
I'm trying to remember because at one point, was it in Alien 3 where the alien baby gets sucked out of a little portal or something?
I don't know.
I think it was the third alien.
I don't know.
Because she ends up having, like, the alien baby, I think.
Oh, I thought she... Because according to this, she killed herself before she actually had it.
Well, I remember a baby alien being sucked out of a portal.
Okay.
I don't remember which one it was.
All right. Okay.
So it might not be that same movie. It might be a different one. But I, for some reason, wanted to say that it was the third one.
Okay. And I love the on this top 10 list they did like also rans like things moments that almost made the film, and one of them was Hicks, who was played by Bill Paxton, right? Paxton?
Yeah.
Not Pullman Paxton. I think that's
his name.
Okay.
Bill Not Pullman Paxton.
where he goes, where he starts, game over. That's the famous line, right? Game over. Game over, man. Game over. So that's on the list. And that's the first video. The second video is top 10 human versus alien fights in movies. And some of the most iconic ones are on it. Like, for example, Will Smith hitting the alien and he goes, "Welcome to Earth." Remember that one?
I don't.
Okay.
For some reason.
That was in Independence Day, the first movie.
I don't remember him saying that.
That's the number.
It's been a long time since like I've seen the movie, though.
That is the iconic scene. It's not the iconic scene because speaking of Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman in Independence Day, his whole line about... because he's the president, he does that whole thing on the eve of
their... The whole spiel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because for some reason, when I think of Independence Day, I always think of when Bill Pullman, not Paxton, asks the alien, like, what does he want from us? Or what do they expect from us? And they're like, we expect you to die.
Yeah.
So that's what I always think of. Maybe I'm just a Debbie Downer.
No, you're not. By the way, are you excited about Alien Resurrection? Or not? Keep on saying Alien Resurrection. Independence Day Resurgence, is it? No. What is it called?
I don't know what it is. It's ID4 on the box.
Resurgence.
I think it'll be a fun movie. And I will end up watching it. It's Resurgence, by the way.
Okay.
But no, I see the previews and like I know it's not going to be the same as the first one, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's not a remake.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be rebooting everything these days, even if it's not that old. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm looking forward to it.
A lot more.
I hope it doesn't suck.
There's a lot more future tech. Like they've taken the aliens' technology and kind of adapted it to suit their own purposes. And there's a scene that I saw in one of the trailers was there's a base on the moon, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really digging moon stuff recently.
Well, you know, like the moon is our closest satellite. And granted, I'm all for going out and exploring Mars and exploring Europa and exploring places beyond the boundaries of the solar system. But at the same time, I think there's still a lot to learn and a lot that we could take advantage of with exploring the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one day setting up a lunar base of some sort. But there, I really do think that there's a lot that the moon could teach us that we don't know yet.
Like NASA is seriously going to work on putting a base on the moon as a stepping stone to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that they're working on, which is very cool. And then there's all these private companies also working on, you know, there's private companies. China is thinking about putting then the European Space Agency, they got a moon base plan. So the moon is going to be a busy place here in the next couple of decades.
Going to be the happening place.
Yeah. We would love your feedback. Aliens at GNcast. Oh, by the way, 3 out of 5 flying saucers for my, 3.5 out of 5. I'll do 3.5.
Moving up.
If you have feedback on anything that we talked about tonight or on this episode of the Alien Invasion, we'd love to hear from you. Aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts, GNCASTS.com. Or call the voicemail number, area code 805-328-3966. Heck, use it as a text message. But of course, fees may apply. 805-328-3966. Go to our subscribe page, gncasts.com/subscribe, to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and other areas. And then on that same page, you will see our other podcasts, because if you don't know, Galactic Netcast has a bunch of them, a whole bunch of podcasts on an array of topics. We've got horror, we've got gaming, we've got general nerdity with the Else Nerds, we've got Weird World Weekly and the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, a whole bunch of them at gncast.com/ subscribe. So subscribe to us, subscribe to the other ones, and if you like this one, you'll love the rest of our podcasts. I can guarantee you it. This is the number one podcast of all of them, Anessa. Did you know that?
It's what?
We have the most downloads of this podcast than any of the other shows.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, this is like
it's the longest running out of all of them, though.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So
we've got a head start.
Yeah. I mean, this has been around since 2011, and our other ones, the oldest, I think, the next oldest is like 2 years old. So, we got some catching up to do. So, if you like this podcast, people, subscribe to it if you haven't yet, and then subscribe to the other ones, and that will make us and you happy, because they're all fun podcasts. They're not like dire, the world's going to end, you should change your life kind of thing. It's all fun, geeky, nerdy stuff, so... That's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a production of Galactic Netcasts. Thank you for joining us. Final thoughts, Anessa.
Anessa's going to go eat dinner. You'll never guess what happens next.
Unless you click here.
Unless you click here.
Yeah. All right. thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.